This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Here is your host, Steve Ulscher. Yes. Are you seeing what's going on Blab right now?
No.
I got like, that's like the world's largest forehead, just like freeze frame. That's pretty funny. I don't know what Wade did. We got to talk to Wade about
that's
that because evidently we're having audio and all that fun. Here's the thing. I think Blab really just complicates our lives. I know it's kind of cool, and I like it. We do the video thing, but every week we seem to have some. We just got to figure this out. That's
it's Wade's fault.
You know what? I believe that is all we need to do. Whenever our show goes bad, we just blame Wade. But although it's not a bad show, we just got to get our audio thing working here and whatnot. All right, very cool. So welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio with your frozen host.
You're not frozen on my side.
Oh, I'm not just on my. All right.
Yeah,
so with your host, who's not frozen on your screen, but on mine, Steve Ulscher.
Along with frozen Lily, brilliance.
Frozen brilliance is better than ignorance on ice. Is that what it was?
No.
No, the other way.
Enthusiasm brilliance, on fire.
Enthusiasm on fire is better than brilliance on ice.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Exactly. Is that right?
That's exactly a Dr. Ivan Meisner thing. The BNI guy.
I know.
Okay, you know. All right, fine. Who was just on the
BNI.
Show? You have, and he was just on the show, which was awesome.
Very cool.
All right, so Richard Tay's in the house, and we got a special guest in the studio. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. All right, so introduce yourself. I'm just going to keep moving your mic just to keep it like entertaining and whatnot. All right, so Brent's here, right? And do tell, man. You're here in Encinitas. You're a local guy, yeah, to the San Diego area.
Yeah, I actually went to high school here. My parents sort of have that classic Navy officer meets La Jolla socialite background. So went to high school here, was up in the Bay Area for about 16 years and back down here since 2007.
Wised up.
Nice. Yeah, I mean,
given
the choices of being here or in the Bay, I think you win here all day long. Some people love the Bay and San Francisco, and you get the, you know, the old world thing. But I will say this. I did, as you know, real estate development in Chicago, and I did a lot of adaptive reuse stuff. So buy an old building, make it better, that sort of thing. There are no fucking old buildings here in San Diego. There's, like, none. Like, nobody, like, there's, like, you can't find a building older than, like, 1964. Like, that's
that
the year
correct.
That everything was built, evidently, in San Diego. So there's, like, no old warehouses to convert to lofts. There's no, like, old manufacturing facilities you can do fun things with. Like, San Diego's a new town, right? It's basically a new town.
That's true.
Yeah.
So there's not the hip districts to build your startup ecosystem in. So.
Right. And so San Francisco's kind of cool like that.
I was down south by 16th between Market and Island. I had to drive from 22nd Street to 16th. And there's some really cute houses. They must be some of those Navy ones you're talking about. And they were adorable.
Yeah.
But then I don't know if it's that safe.
Yeah, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I know that when you
do know.
I know something. I know something. And I know that, by the way, the holidays are coming here. You're tickling me. I like that, Rich. Thank you. Ooh, I like
oh,
that.
Brother.
All right, so your holidays are here. Do you travel for the holidays? Do you go somewhere? Where's family from?
I actually get to stay here. So
you get to stay here. Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you? People should come here. Like, that's what Alex, you're here. Like, my nephew's in the house, so... What's up, man? I'm glad you're here. We got to get you a mic, but everybody showed up today, so you're out of luck, man.
You can come over and talk on Rich as well. He's over there trying to tickle you.
Or just host the show. I think just take over, man. That's what we'll do, the Alex Bravo takeover.
Well, okay, so go through your airline tips then.
So go through really? You're going to push me? That is so cool. Man, that's awesome.
I'm producing the show.
How did you know that's what I was going to do? You just kind of knew. Right, but by the way, I do think that everybody should come to San Diego for the holidays. I see no reason at all to do that snow thing and that cold thing. You know, they got it wrong. Whoever sang that I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas thing, clearly they were out of their fucking minds. I mean, like, that's all I can say. Because, like, why would anyone dream of a white Christmas? I guess unless you like that sort
it's
of
beautiful.
Thing.
It's beautiful.
So is sunshine in the ocean. That's beautiful, too. Like, yeah, Alex gets it. Yeah. I totally get that.
But do your kids lament the fact that they're not... Well, they will go home for...
They lament the fact that I'm their father.
They want a white Christmas?
Without daddy, yes. That would be great. They would move back to Chicago in a heartbeat.
Would they really?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah,
you don't like
absolutely.
The warm weather?
You know what? They would move back. I'll put it to that way. My wife, she'd be, like, back in Chicago in a heartbeat. No doubt. No doubt. But... Yeah, I gotta tell you, when I'm given the choice between cold and hot, like when you're hot, you can always just like take off layers. When you're cold, you can never get.
You can add on.
No, when it's cold, see, Brent gets it. When your toes are just like 4 degrees. You can't do anything to make that better.
Yeah, what people don't get is that you actually can drive to the White if you
want
to. Exactly.
Right?
So going to Big Bear this weekend, right? Two hours away.
Or you pop in a DVD.
Right.
You know, that's why they make those things. It's like the fireplace.
The fireplace
here,
on your app.
If you can do a fireplace on the TV, you should be able to do like a mountain with snow and like snowfall, and it's our White
so
Christmas.
So this is how cool where we live, Encinitas, on my street. There was my neighbors coming out of the house with their skis.
In Encinitas?
Yes. With their skis to go.
What were they smoking? Because clearly I am not going to the same dealer.
Oh, my Lord. Stop.
Oh, sorry.
They're going to get in their car. They had the half of their body was filled, you know, was wearing the ski suit thingamajigger. And the skis.
See, you don't even know what it's called. And you're from Minnesota.
It's so long. There was another neighbor. I remember clearly like this could only happen in San Diego. They're getting in the car with their skis, and my neighbor's strutting down the sun-filled street with a surfboard.
Right? So you got skis on one side of the street.
And surfboard.
Surfboard on the other.
You can actually do it in the same day.
And of late, that's kind of how the days have been here. And I didn't sign up for this shit. I mean, I sold my wife on the bill of goods of, like, 72 and sunny, like, daily.
It is.
She was like, okay, I can probably handle that. And then this summer, it was 90 degrees.
Like, she's looking at you.
Right? But fortunately, I'm making up for it now in this sort of winter thing here, because we were walking the dogs last night and I was just like, damn, it's like really cold. And she's like, it makes me feel alive. I was like, ooh, okay, well.
Let's go home.
Did I mention that she actually, you know where she works. So she works, my wife is a funeral director. So the cold makes her feel, because I guess the cold is sort of a reminder of where she works, right? Because she works with the
cold.
Cold, dead people. And so she's like, it's just like a subtle reminder of like, I'm still alive. So I think that's kind of the cold,
hot thing. That's so funny. That's interesting.
Right? Because the cold makes me feel like I just want to shoot myself in the head. That's like, it's like, you know, some people have like these natural knee-jerk reactions to things. You know, they see the beauty of the ocean, the beauty. Like for me, that's how I am. I see the beauty of the ocean. I see the beauty of the sun. I'm like, man, this is amazing. The snow comes, cold comes. I want to die. It's like there's no in between.
So that's
where I'm at with things, which is why I moved to San Diego. All right. If just in case, Mary's like, at some point you are going to cover your travel tips, because last hour, and by the way, if you missed last hour, that was a pretty cool show, right? Nick Unsworth was on.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Reinventing live events, Ignite Your Movement is his event, which will be pretty cool with Damon John and Ty Lopez and Lisa Sasevich and Mike Kings and some other folks that are going to be there. So that'll be pretty cool. And so if you missed that and you listen to the podcast, check out that last episode. Why am I pointing my head like that?
I have no idea.
Like I'm pointing like backwards. I know. Like go to the last episode. Before this. And by the way, why is that to the left? Why would the last episode be the left? I guess the next episode would be to the right. I don't know. I got to figure that out. But what I was going to cover in that episode, that clearly I'm not going to be able to cover in this episode either, is some travel tips. Because do you fly? Like, what business are you in?
No, you fly abroad, don't you?
I fly
abroad.
So what do you do, Brent?
Are you?
Yeah, so we got a special guest in studio today. Adam, grab that mic while Rich isn't looking.
Come on,
get on there.
Sit down.
Take that seat. All right, so Brent Cooper's in the house, and thanks for joining us today. And are you sure you actually had to drive here and, like, make an effort
to the right place?
Right, you had to actually, like, make an effort to be here. Are you feeling like you made the wrong choice at this point?
This is fun. So my primary business is actually teaching large organizations, huge enterprises, how to reignite actually their innovation. So how can they create new value for people in the world? So I teach large enterprises that. Primarily what I do then is do a lot of keynote speeches around the world, mentoring startups, getting to know the startup communities around the world.
Wow.
And working at big conferences, doing workshops and that sort of thing.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of traveling.
I do a lot of travel.
All right, so let's do this. So if you're flying, which a lot of people will be doing here over the holidays, what seat will you never take on an airline? Assuming you're not flying first class and they're like, okay, we fly. You probably don't even fly coach or business class anymore, do you? It's like all first class all the way.
It's primarily business class.
Primarily business class.
In a two-class plane, though.
All right,
so that's, yeah.
when you're flying, like, remember the old days when, like, you would fly in a normal plane with, like, that didn't have just, like, four seats and, like, a $50 million price tag? The other planes that hold, like, 300 people. So, like, what sort of seats wouldn't you ever want to sit in? Because it's pretty interesting. There's a list of them, and we'll get to this eventually. But there's a list. No, we probably won't. But name some of the seats that you would never sit in or never think to sit in when you're flying on a regular airplane.
Well, it's the back row. Obviously.
Definitely, that's on the list. Yep,
and it's even the aisle in the back row because you're next to the lavatory.
Right, yeah. And you get I mean, it's like, you know, I didn't ask for the potpourri, and that's what you end up getting. But it's not potpourri; it's poopery. That's what you end up with. Thank you very much. I'll be here all day. So, all right, what other ones? Because there was like a whole list, and I was like, yeah, I would never sit in that.
Well,
seat.
Then give us some of them.
No, okay. This is a game.
Well, you know what? I use SeatGuru.com. So I actually, when I'm making my flights, I'm choosing which seat I'm going to sit in as opposed to which seats I'm not going to sit.
That is super smart. Seat Guru. See, you learn something new every SeatGuru.com. And what does that do? Like, it shows you the airplane and shows you, like,
shows you the airplane for your
available
specific flight. Yeah. And then they'll actually color code, like, a seat will be yellow if there's something a little bit off with it. It'll actually be red if that's a seat that you should avoid at all costs.
So here's some of the seats that you definitely want to avoid at all costs, which is pretty interesting to me. Have you ever seen, like, those new planes with the entertainment boxes? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yep.
There's that evidently there's a seat somewhere on the plane that has this big monstrosity of a box under the seat in front of you. So You can't stretch your feet out, right? That's like,
then you want me to sit there because I have no length.
Right, your toes in that one. All right, well, clearly
you can't even put your bag there, right? So you don't put your briefcase or your backpack above, and so you're trying to put it in front of the seat in front of you, and you can't put it there, and then the flight attendant's getting all ticked off at you.
All right, so look, I got to two of my travel tips. That's better than I did last show, right? All right, all good. We'll be right back with Brian Cooper here on Reinvention Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. See, you do like that.
I do.
You like the rejoin music. Nice.
I do.
All right, very cool. And we are on a much smaller screen now. I don't know what happened, but we're on Reinvention Radio here live on Blab and other fun sort of social media things. And I'm being tickled again by Rich. I kind of like it. Thank you. You're going to mute people. All right, so very cool. So we got Brian Cooper in the house. And before the break, we were talking a lot about things that probably have nothing at all to do with why you came here, which is pretty consistent for.
But you know what? It was a good segue from the traveling. Like, oh, really? Why did you go over there?
So it got the St. Mary's stamp of approval?
I'm going to work with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Kelly's
bonus.
Not.
I know. Kelly's like, would you stick to the reason he's there? I can actually see that. Like, I can hear the words in her text. It's kind of funny, which is why I don't look at my text anymore during the show. Because Kelly's
I can ignore Kelly.
Exactly. All right. So very cool. All right. So, Brent, so welcome back. And you never actually went anywhere. I'm the one who left briefly. So welcome back to me to the microphone here. All right. So you work with startups, but the Lean Startup, is that what's the book called? You got a book, right? I'm probably butchering it.
Yeah.
Lean Entrepreneur.
The Lean Entrepreneur. Right. Okay. So you knew.
Yes, I did.
You should have brought him back into the segment then. Now we know. From now on, you are bringing the guests back into the segment.
Okay.
You just earned that right. Yay. Okay. Oh, so the Lean. Brent's like, what is going on between these two? All right. So the Lean Entrepreneur.
The Dickersons.
Right. So what is that book and what's it about?
Right, so out of the dot-com boom and bust of the 90s and early 2000s, there was a bunch of people that, hey, maybe we can do a better job building startups. And so this movement was created, really started by Steve Blank and Eric Ries, who wrote The Lean Startup. And it's really
about... That's why that book. See, yes. I knew that. I was like, yeah, exactly. I knew that.
Something.
Okay.
Something.
So the fundamental idea is that if we're doing innovation, if we're facing uncertainty, like growing a new business, like starting a new business, or like what I do now with large enterprises, they're seeking to build new products, attack new markets, mm-hmm. is that we actually have to learn before we can execute. So rather than just believing what we've got it all figured out and then spend tens of millions of dollars and spend a lot of time and spend a lot of resources and creativity and inspiration building products that nobody wants.
Yeah.
And so,
for sure.
Right. So.
Yeah, because as entrepreneurs, we like to do fire, ready, aim instead of this
exactly
is
right.
saying ready, yep. aim, re-aim.
Mm-hmm.
Re-aim again.
And in the internet sort of product launch marketing world, you find that a lot of people sell stuff before they even make it just to see if there's
test
an audience for it.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a classic landing page experiment, right? You
right.
put up a one-page website. You got all your messaging and positioning up there. You have a big call to action. The call to action could be, hey, notify me when you get started. Or it could be buy, and you click the buy button, and it doesn't go anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're actually measuring whether people will even respond to that messaging and so give some indication that they desire the product.
Have you seen, you probably have seen this, but like the heat map kind of thing?
Yep.
Like you can track, Mary, have you seen that? Stop looking at it. Have you seen?
I don't see you at all.
I'm not there at all. I'm just, and it, you know what? It's probably better for our show if I'm just voice only.
Focus on brand.
My mom always said I've got a face for radio. So, you know, it's perfect. All right. So have you seen that? The heat map stuff? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
You ever seen like when you there's like computer sort of
crazy
sensory
egg is an example of that. You can it'll tell you where people are mousing over on the screen for your website, for
oh,
example.
Oh, cool. Wow.
But you
that's
can also do like the they have
brother.
The ones where they can see like the eyes, right? Like they can actually see where you're looking with some sort of device on the screen itself.
That's kind of spooky.
Where they can see where your eyes are going. That's kind of cool, too. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's getting kind of crazy, huh?
It is. Yeah. All right, so here's where we probably God, I shouldn't even use that word. But I'm going to say this is where we intersect, right here. So I actually launched on... Stop smiling. So I actually launched online in 1993. On CompuServe's Electronic Mall. We talked about that last segment. Mary's like, if you talk about
the
CompuServe one more time. So do you remember CompuServe?
Of course. I was an early adopter of CompuServe, and anybody that was a CompuServe and not an AOL guy, I
yeah.
have a tremendous amount of respect for.
Excellent. See? And I actually remember very specifically a conversation with Bob Massey, who was the CEO of CompuServe at the time. And they were thinking about coming out with a second sort of CompuServe-like product, which was called Wow. From CompuServe. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember
that. So they basically what they did is they decided it's a good idea to fragment our company. So we're going to have CompuServe, and then we're going to have Wow from CompuServe. And I told him pretty much, I was like, you know, man, I don't think... Are you falling asleep, really? Jesus. So I told him, I really don't think that's a great idea because you're going to fragment focus. And, you know, technically, they weren't a startup at that point because they were a big company.
Yeah.
I mean, based out of Columbus, huge campus, the whole nine. But I swore up and down, I actually made somebody a bet that CompuServe was going to be the winner of the AOL versus CompuServe war. How'd I do?
I think you lost.
I lost, yes.
So,
but I tell you, AOL still went down in flames. I mean, CompuServe at least accepted the internet before AOL did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think AOL was still mailing out CDs. For their closed
yeah.
network when everybody else was on the internet.
All right, be honest. Mary, you still have a net zero account, right? Be honest.
No.
Yeah, no? All right, fine. So here's where sort of the technology meets the business world that didn't exist in that way before when the internet really started coming to the forefront, right? Because, I mean, like, you had technology companies, but you didn't have the opportunities, obviously, with technology that you did until the internet really hit and just started taking over the way that we do business, the way that we communicate, et cetera, right? So you were in the – basically, you were in the mix then at that point of – I mean, do you remember when people were talking about, like, Google – for the first time, like
yep.
you got to check this out.
Yeah, even Netscape before that, right? Remember
the
first browser. So
yeah, and Lycos
yep.
and Excite and all those fun things. And then Excite became Excite at Home and controversy everywhere. But the venture capital world, which is, and so you do some work in the venture capital world as well, yeah, because you work with startups and and so on. So the money back in the late 90s and even before the second bubble, which people can argue we're sort of in a bubble now as well, but the money in the late 90s, do you remember that period of time where like ideas on a napkin were basically getting funded? I mean, it was it was nuts.
The first startup I joined was 97. And so back in those days, like you said, you actually could raise millions of dollars based upon an idea.
Yeah.
And really, a lot of people look back at those times and say, oh gosh, those young CEOs, they didn't know what they're doing. They're just trying to scale their business and they're not producing any revenues. But it really was the investors that were driving that game.
Sure.
Because what they wanted to do was take a company public so that they could sell to the retail investor, and they're essentially flipping their stocks for a huge profit. That was what the motivation was. And so to me, the part that's too bad about that is a lot of the companies that failed back in those days failed not because the market said I didn't want it, but they failed because they grew too quickly, and then we had the bust and all of these companies are gone.
Yeah.
But this is exactly the type of waste that we want to try to eliminate. You know, it's not just the investor's money. It's your own personal time and your creativity and your inspiration and the opportunity costs. You know, so these days you actually have to prove out your business model a little bit in order to raise money.
It's kind of like the real estate market, right? I mean, thank God that they at least stopped giving people loans that shouldn't have gotten those loans in the first place. I'm not saying that they're still not making mistakes a bit here and there, but at least they're giving a – I mean, do you remember, like, Mary, you remember this, the no-doc loans? Loved them. Why wouldn't you? You were an agent. Why wouldn't you love them?
Well, no, I loved them because I'm an entrepreneur and I just a stated income, man. I love it.
Right? I mean, that's how it was sort of in that day with the .com, where it was like no doc VC capital, right? It was like, yeah, you got an idea, okay. But obviously, we see how that went. Actually, I got caught up in that hype. Bought the liquor.com domain. I don't know if you know this or not, but I actually own liquor.com.
No, I did not know
Still own that to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, so bought that and bourbon.com at the same time. And want to guess what I paid? Want to guess?
$250.
Wow, actually more. Damn it, I feel like I overpaid now. we paid $7,500.
Okay.
For liquor.com and bourbon.com at the same time. Actually, back in 95, when we built one of the first fully functional e-commerce sites, it was kind of nuts because I was a really early adopter as far as the internet goes. And I was one of those guys who was I remember this, man, when you could go on to whatever it was, name.com or whatever it was at that point, I forget, but you could literally just type in the domain you wanted.
Network Solutions.
And it would be there.
There you go.
Right? And it would be there.
Yep.
And this was the point where I was just like, okay, so we were in the liquor business with that juncture. I was thinking, like, we should grab vodka.com. Let's grab gin.com. Let's grab rum.com. Let's just grab them all because you could. And what ended up happening was my IT guy was like, nah, we don't need those.
Oh, my Lord.
We don't need those. No, we just need Liquor by Wire, which was the name of the company at that point, before it became liquor.com. It's like, let's just do liquorbywire.com and we'll do lbw.com, which oddly enough, a three-letter domain now
is worth a lot.
Is worth a lot of money.
That was one of the first domains I bought, was a three-letter domain.
Did I shoot that guy? Fortunately, I don't remember his name or where he lives because
you should shoot that guy. So, Brant, out of curiosity, I know we're coming up on a break.
Let it go. It's all right. Now, we're trying to fix the audio for Blab, but you know what? If they don't, here's what we should do. We should build like a stage. Like, let's just build like rafters, you know, like bleachers. Let's just build bleachers at the radio station here. And if people really want to see us live,
they can come down to the station.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's not happening.
You could have concessions and everything. It would be a good.
That's how we're going to pay for the show. Yeah. We'll have concessions. I love that idea. We'll have people
charge popcorn and pop.
I'll have my kids come here and sell lemonade.
Yeah. You know,
they got $12 hamburgers. I love that idea.
$15 big beers.
I'm in.
Right. Done. So that's our new revenue model. Wade, just in case you were wondering, that's where the future is. Right there. All right. So after the break, what I want to do. I want to talk about, and Kelly's I can feel my phone vibrating. I know, like, every text is coming in. It's Kelly going, would you talk to Brant about the lean?
Well, I'm curious to ask in the next segment, how can you take it, what you do for enterprises, to little people?
Yeah. Well, the answer is you can't.
Okay.
But no, I mean, there are definitely ideas that we can relate to those who don't have these big, huge companies. And I do want to talk about capital and some of the other ways that we can fund our dreams. And I know you've got some ideas around that as well. All right. More on Reinvention Radio with Brian Cooper right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio with Mary Willet and a very, very young Rich O'Tay, if you're on Blab right now. This is so that's kind of like, I think at 27, that's what Rich looked like right there. So if you ever wonder what Rich looked like in his 20s, and if you're on Blab, you can see it right now. Right?
And also, we were talking to Alex during the break about what he does in Chicago, and he's got a little of that entrepreneurial, I don't want to be tied down, I think I'm going to move to San Diego.
And that's a really good idea, given the choices, because we want you here, man. We want you in San Diego here with us.
I want to be here, yeah.
See? All right,
nice.
Beautiful
weather.
It is, and, you know, lovely people. You can be neighbors with Mary, you can be neighbors with Brandt, you can be neighbors with us. It's going to be awesome. All right, Brandt Cooper's in the house, so thanks so much for joining us today, and hopefully you're still on board with the fact, like, this was a good idea to
come show up.
Hey, you guys are a lot of fun.
Yeah, because otherwise he's kind of my neighbor.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's Mary's house.
Oh, no, not Mary. All right. So I want to talk about the whole world of startups, because a lot of our listeners, well, the three listeners that we have, they have been saying all along here, right? And we're in the all room now. Yeah. So basically, I'm just talking about myself. All right, here's the deal. Just talk to me. So from a startup perspective, there's a fine line between like wanting to create something that is totally innovative and basically, you know, because they talk about pioneers, right? You can always tell who the You can tell who the pioneers are by the guys who have the arrows in their back, right?
Right.
So from a startup perspective, how do you look at or advise people to think about, well, innovation is great, but at the same token, being second or third or fourth to market and just doing something better or different might be a better plan of action, better course of action? How do you kind of balance those two?
Well, so I try to get people to focus on the customer and problems that they think these customers have. So I think that in the startup world today, we literally see hundreds, if not thousands, of companies that are going after the same market. Mm-hmm. Yet they actually all do things slightly differently, and they hope better than the competition. But it really comes down to, I believe, in today's day and age, we're really trying to solve productivities and pains and problems that individuals have. And so what that means is that there's a lot of more narrow market segments. And so there's a lot of room to actually even innovate, maybe not completely disruptive or breakthrough innovation. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of room for entrepreneurs to focus on smaller markets at first and solve real problems and then see if there's a broader market for them to go after.
Yeah.
So I think that one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make is they focus too big too early. Like, mm-hmm. How do I get 1,000 customers? And you know, I'm helping an entrepreneur and he's building a fashion app. And I ask him, well, how can I help you? What's the biggest obstacle you have? I need 1,000 customers. Mm-hmm. Well, how many customers do you have?
2. 10.
Yeah, 0. Right. So I say, well, you don't need 1,000. You need 1.
Yeah.
Right. And so literally go outside the building right now and go find 1 person that cares about the product that you're building. And so it really is.
But we're instant gratification.
Yeah, it's instant gratification, but it's also like, and a part of it is because it's the internet and internet marketing is how can I scale it? And I go, well, you know, if you can't solve a problem for 1 or 10 or 25 people, you can't solve it for 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally have to start small in order to go big. And so this is, I think, the opportunity for entrepreneurs of all stripes, of all ages, is to go figure out who's got the problem that you think you can solve, or go, you know, deeply understand a customer segment, and that's where you can start and solve a problem.
So how important is it really to actually have a fire, like Nick was talking about in the last episode, you know, that passion for what it is that you're doing from the standpoint of the problem that you solve? Because, you know, there's a lot of people, it's that whole do what you love and the money will follow horseshit, you know, that a lot of people talk about, right? And so it's like, oh, I picked this thing and I really love the people that I'm, you know, building this for, and I can change the world. But then it's just the same token. It's like you have people who just really create the widget X because they see an opportunity there. How do you help people sort of reconcile passion versus widget, if you will?
Yeah, so I guess I run counter. I actually say don't do what you're passionate about. You know, if I did what I was passionate about.
We are on the same page.
Yeah, I would be.
I don't agree with either one of you.
If I did what I was passionate
That's
about.
That's why you're on that side of the desk.
In control.
No, that is true.
I mean, like, be honest. What would you do if you did what you were passionate about? I would play sports and you know, probably sex would be involved. And that's not, and then that we're getting into illegal
territory.
Sometimes
with another person.
Exactly, right. So that's what you're. You know, if you do what you're passionate about, what I say is be passionate about what you do. And so the thing is, in order to build a business, you actually have to do a lot of stuff that you don't want to do.
And the passion carries you through. So
right, but it's the passion.
It's the same coin, isn't it?
But some people will say just delegate all that crap. I mean, really, like, if you don't, what did I, so Dr. Ivan Meisner from BNI joined us. So if you listen to the podcast, check out that episode as well. You like how I seed some of those things?
You do.
I'm getting better at
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant.
Thank you. And so one of the things that he was talking about is, as an entrepreneur, you're either working in your fire or you're working in your wax.
Ooh.
Right? So a lot of people end up doing, especially as an entrepreneur, and, you know, the lean entrepreneur from that standpoint, I mean, you know, I want to delegate all this stuff out, but I can't afford it. I shouldn't. How do you get people to move then from getting out of the wax and into their fire? Or is there just a period of time that they can't?
Yeah, I actually think that the winners are the people that hustle. And so it is hustling through the portions that it's hustling through the wax. The way you get out of the wax is by working really hard. And so I the way you delegate is because you've grown the business enough that you can delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in my startup now, the founder, my co-founder and I, you know, had to do all of the work ourselves. And then as we started gaining traction, then what we take is our repeatable processes, and we give the repeatable processes to other people so we can continue to build the business.
Mm-hmm.
And you just repeat that over and over and over again, and you start hiring people in order to delegate those things that you used to do, but now you don't.
But see, you had to do them yourself so you could get your own procedures and protocol.
That's exactly right.
You had to.
Right.
But and you had to take notes. Some people don't take the notes, then they can't hand it off to the next person.
Right. So, but that is how you scale, is you stop doing the work yourself. You cannot be the technician. You can't be just be your secret sauce that you're doing over or you're a small business, which is fine, but you're not a scalable startup at that point.
And it's interesting, right? Because in the technology world, you have sort of that chicken and the, what are you giggling about?
Kelly goes, delegate to a badass assistant.
Or that, yeah, just everybody just hire a Kelly. No, not Kelly, just hire a Kelly.
Kelly.
You can't have Kelly. So there's, in the startup world, especially in the app world, in the technology side of the, you know, business equation, you've got that chicken and egg game, right? Which is like Seaguru, right? We were talking about that in the first segment. How do you together a site when you have no users? And if you have no users, then no one's going to come to the site. And it's like this little dance of how do I get enough users and get scale to make it appealing for other people to want to come to the site? How do they surmount that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So what you have to do is,
that was the first time today.
Okay, I know it was.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a race to see who can get the most. That's a great question.
Thank you.
And he's one.
I didn't,
and I'm zero.
One nothing.
I didn't say great, though, by the way. I said it was good.
Good.
Oh, good.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't quite count.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I read Jim Collins' book, The Next Question. I'm going from good to great.
Okay.
Okay, good. So how do you balance
I'm potting you down as I hear it coming out.
That's a great point.
Thank you.
The key is you have to go find who your early adopters are. And so your early adopters are going to be willing to put up with a product that's not quite there yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
so like on Blab is a perfect example, right? I mean, the concept is you should be able to put up a show. There'll be millions of people already there, you know, and you've got a built-in audience. And so it's a little bit different because you don't have to spend all this time marketing because we bring you the audience. There are already people that, well, there's six people on right now. But I think that's more reflective of the show than the number of people on Blab right now. But so there you go. So the early sort of adopters, yeah?
Yeah, so I mean, again, you're focusing in on who do you think has this problem that you're solving? Who's going to be the first one that's going to go, wow, yeah, I really need that solution? And so it comes down to hustle. It's going finding those people in the real world. It's not automating it. It's not, you know, just putting up a landing page. It's actually going and finding those people and talking to them. And do they actually have the problem? What's a day in their life like? What's going to be the impact it's going to have on those people's lives if I solve the problem? Mm-hmm. And all of this is learning. What's going to work? What's the right product? How do I market to these people? How do I sell to these people? You have to go through this process of learning first before you execute. If you just simply execute, then you're giving yourself one shot at it.
Yeah. So as we're looking to, I guess, educate entrepreneurs, not just in this show, but I mean, in college and graduate school, et cetera, what are some of the things that they should be teaching to future entrepreneurs that they're not?
Well, it's a lot of it is along the same lines. They don't really talk about this concept of building empathy for your customer, so understanding them deeply.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of schools that still teach, you know, how to write a business plan. But if you're really doing something that's a bit innovative that hasn't been done before,
yeah.
I mean, listen, if you're going to go do a dry cleaning and it's been done, you know, 100 times in every city across the world, then, okay, you need a business plan maybe to go get financing from a bank or something like that. But if you're actually doing a startup, a technical startup, an app startup, or something that really hasn't been done before, the business plan is really sort of worthless because the moment you get into the market, everything inside your plan is going to change.
Yeah.
That's exactly
and you're
right.
probably not going to be able to raise real money around that anyway. So
not anymore.
Because you're going to, I mean, it's like one of the things I trust you watch Shark Tank every now and again.
Yep.
Yeah. So Damon John, who's going to actually be speaking at Nick Unsworth's event, Ignite, to ignite your movement. That's an awesome event. People should check out in LA in January. But one of the things that he talks a lot about on Shark Tank and the other sharks as well is, you know, people come in and they've got these great ideas and they ask him, well, how much in revenue do you have? How many sales have you had? You know, where are you at in sort of this, you know, this this process of building a business? And a lot of them, oh, I've got this great idea. You know, we've got, look at this, you know, look at this awesome setup and whatnot. We have no customers. And that's like, you know, that shuts
they roll their eyes at that point.
And they roll their eyes at that point. All right. So we'll talk more about the lean entrepreneur with Frank Cooper here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition of your Reinvention Radio. Mary Goulet in the house. We totally lost Rich Ote, but we got a better, younger version. So we got my nephew,
Alex.
Alex Robinson,
the new Sandy Egan, eventually.
Exactly. Hopefully. So you have declared it.
Well, what is the decision?
You have stated it publicly now, so you can't back out.
But what's the deal? What's the decision that has to be made? You're young.
You haven't offered one of your rooms yet. So just, you know, you've got that big, huge mansion. You don't even use the West Wing. Just let Alex have the West Wing. Portia will be okay with that, right? No, she won't. Yeah. Okay, fine. All right, so Brant, how you doing, man? So we're here with Brant Cooper. Awesome, as we're talking about a whole bunch of interesting things around business and lean entrepreneurs, et cetera. By the way, what does it mean to be a lean entrepreneur? I want to make sure that I understand exactly what that is.
Okay, so the lean doesn't mean, you know, be small or don't spend money or don't raise money, or it's really comes from the term lean manufacturing that described the Toyota production system, or how Toyota was building cars Japan in the 50s. And it's about the elimination of waste. So in those stories I'm telling about how we used to do startups and you were wasting your money and your time and your resources and all that, we're trying to teach people how to build businesses, eliminating the waste of all of that lost resources and all the rest. And that's the why lean. So a lean entrepreneur is one who figures out, who learns before executes. Right. So figures out what the right product is, what the right features are, how to market, how to sell. What are my operations? What are the back end? Figuring out all of these things before executing.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when I worked with mom entrepreneurs for 12 years, the first thing they wanted to do, come up with their name, build the website, buy their business cards, design their business cards, and then figure out if it's going to work.
Yeah, and
made me crazy.
Yeah, you can spend, you know, $20,000 on that type of stuff before you even open your doors, quote unquote.
Yeah, and that's why men just make better leaders. I like Blab. So now that we at least have a recording of the, Kelly's like, oh shit, I'm done. Kelly's like, that's it, I'm gone.
No, there were so many thoughts that raced through my mind when you said that to me.
I know, and I want you to say them. That's the point. This is why you come every single. It's like therapy. You come here and you just vent. You just let it all go.
I actually just tweeted the other day that I think we're one generation away from females, from women dominating entrepreneurship.
I'm okay with a woman dominating. You know what? I'm okay with a woman being dominant. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. All right, so let me ask you a question. Now, entrepreneurs, is it in the DNA? Can you learn it? Born versus made? What's your take on it?
Sharks
like
are born swimming.
Right, I mean, is it a square peg in a round hole, and if you're not, you're just not, and you need to stop?
You know, it's like everything else. It's a continuum. So you have people that are born sort of natural abilities to do, to have entrepreneurial skills and to lead those efforts. It is teachable, however. And then you've got people on the other end of the spectrum that you could try teaching, but they will never be entrepreneurs, and they want to have their 9-to-5 and they want their inbox and their outbox and be told what to do. And that's all fine too.
I agree.
But
I agree. Like, my father was a serial entrepreneur, and my mom, just stay-at-home mom, or had a part-time job, nice and simple, you know, perfect. But I'm like off the rails.
Yeah, I mean, our parents were a little bit similar because my dad just loved his cereal. So that's,
That's funny.
Thank you. I'll be here. All right, so I'll be here all day, at least for another 25 minutes. Talk about planning versus doing, right? Because I know there's something to be said for making sure that you plan your work so you can work your plan. But I know you're a huge advocate of the doing side of the equation. So how do you know when you're out of that planning mode and you need to shift then into the doing of whatever it is that you have in mind?
Well, so I actually say do first, because
really?
I think that the problem with a lot of entrepreneurs have is, what is that first step that I need to take? And so while they're trying to figure out that first step, they're writing pages and pages of their business plan.
Sure.
I think it's okay to think through your business and how you think it's going to go, or how you hope it's going to go. And you can document all that. It is helpful to sit there and think through what you think your business model is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that you don't want to confuse the size of the first step in entrepreneurship with, you know, sort of the change that you're hoping to make in the world. And the first thing that you literally can do is go try to find customers that have the problem that you think you're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that without writing anything down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So just getting people to take that first step and go talk to 10 people and see if they've got the problem. Now you've actually got something to hang your hat on, maybe, and you can sit down and start thinking about the business model.
Yeah. And it could be one thing they say that you're like, whoa, didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So
That was a great point.
You can't make him say that. It has to be natural. It just has to flow like, wow, Mary.
I saw it in his
that
eyes.
Was a
he
great
was enthusiastic
statement.
About what I said.
Yeah, not so much.
So the method that I teach is, it's called flipping the conversation. And so I'm going to talk briefly about myself. I'm going to state three problems I think my customer has, and then I'm going to ask them if they have that problem. So it's a great way for entrepreneurs to get out of the building and go figure out if a customer really exists. So I can say, hi, I'm Brant Cooper. I help big companies jumpstart their innovation practices. When I talk to chief innovation officers like yourself, what I hear is that it's difficult for you to get budget for innovation. It's hard to get your people outside talking to customers, and you really don't know what assumptions that you need to test, and you don't get them out on paper or whatever. Do you have those problems? By stating it in this way, this customer, this potential customer, only has like three different responses, right?
Sure.
Nope, I don't have the problem. Yeah, well, I kind of have those, but my bigger problem is over here. Or, yeah, you've nailed it. I've got that problem. And it just opens up the conversation, and you're on your way.
Really, really good advice. It's almost – it's in-person focus group kind of practice, if you
one
will.
One-on-one.
One-on-one.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. So let's talk about the other side of the entrepreneur's spectrum, if you will, which is the exit. Okay. How do you know as an entrepreneur when it is time – to exit? How do you look at valuations today and even online? How do you know if your company is actually worth anything?
Do you have customers that are paying you money? So usually valuation is going to be some multiple of what your revenues are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's assuming that you've proven that there's a sizable market. That would be why somebody's acquiring you. But there's other reasons people acquire too. It could just be an acquihire. They want your customers, or they want your talent.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at, let's say like, you know, EBITDA and the other things that are on this, on the balance sheet, are you saying most of the time, if you are looking to be acquired, it is just a revenue ramp up, and that's where you should focus your efforts as opposed to being profitable?
Yeah, actually, I mean, you probably know this. I mean, in the startup world, You want to prove that you can be profitable, but you don't have to be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Amazon to this day, right, is deciding not to be profitable. Uber is deciding not to be profitable because that money is going into scaling,
mm-hmm.
or it's going into new product initiatives or other things that will help them continue to grow.
Yeah.
Now, they can show you numbers that, you know, what's my cost of acquiring a customer and what's the lifetime value of once I've landed a customer. And they can show you that I can be profitable if I was to take that money and spend it or hold on to it. But it's their choice not to. And so if you're in a scalable startup, it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah. And most entrepreneurs have no clue at all what their metrics truly are.
No, they don't.
Well, and also it's kind of like the same thing as having a platform, be it radio, speaking, whatever. And though you may not make a lot of money, they'll buy you on your platform.
Yeah, for real.
No, it's a great point. So, like, radio is a good example of – see, I got your great point.
Damn it.
Sorry.
We almost went – we got 40 seconds left, and you got it in.
I know how to do it. I'm good.
You're building a community, though. If you build a community, there's a pretty good chance that you can, you know, sort of monetize that community.
You saved that for the very – you saved that. All right. How do people find out more information about you, Brant?
So, I'm Brant Cooper on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. My company's website is movestheneedle.com.
Nice.
Awesome.
The book Lean Entrepreneur is available in your – you can request it at your favorite bookstore or Amazon.
Yeah. Amazon Prime.
Right. There you go.
Really appreciate you being in. And for those who have subscribed and rated and reviewed the podcast, we thank you very much. And if you have any comments or feedback or guest suggestions for future shows, you can always hit us up at 844-MR-BOLD-1. That's MRBOLD-1. For Mary, Rich, myself, Wade, we'll talk to you guys next time on another episode of Reinvention Radio. Thanks, Brant.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.